1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome into the Talk of Emporia. Tegan Trehune, your host here today, being brought to you in part, as always, by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Let them cater your graduation party. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone that has the experience to make your event a success and call Bobby D's today. Also brought to you by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever before. That is Newman Regional Health. Well, it is the third Tuesday. I'm still trying to get used to that.
I know.
It used to always be the Monday, but now it's gone to Tuesdays. I'm still trying to get it. You can tell my dates are still a little messed
Tuesday,
up.
Tuesday. I can't quite do that like the...
Trying to do the big old monster truck rally.
Monster truck rally, yeah.
Tuesday. It is the third Tuesday of the month of April, and as you can tell, in the studio we have our good friend Trey Cocking, city manager of the city of Emporia, as we are into the Q&A with Trey. That was in your contract, I had to say, friend. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Section 12, I believe.
Yeah, you really fought for that pretty hard.
I did.
Yeah.
Hey, you have good attorneys, so you get... You know, decent contracts.
Yeah, you do have some good attorneys over there. I'll give you that. That's for sure. Well, Trey, I think the big thing here is there's a lot that's been happening over the last couple of weeks. Whether it's, you know, and it's not just with the city. I mean, you know, we've got a new superintendent for the school district. We could have a new rec director here in the next couple of days. I mean... There is just a lot of stuff going on.
There is. You know, it's spring, so a lot of change, a lot of green things. And, you know, once again, we're in that season of renewal and new things happening. And, you know, obviously recognize Allison and Tom for their contributions to this community for years. So it's going to be big changes as we see new directions for those two organizations that we partner with all the time. So I'm looking forward to working with the new rec director and with Superintendent McGee. Mm-hmm. It's going to... They're going to have a tough job. Allison and Tom did a good job for a long time.
They set the bar pretty high. I'll give them that.
They did.
One thing, though, that has not seen any change is the RDA. As we highlighted last Thursday, I believe it was, we had been talking for a little bit about the possibility of a new structure with the RDA. It's been proposed. It was developed through the Emporia, the Economic Advancement Committee. It was presented on Thursday, and it did not seem to find a lot of favor with some people. You know, I think it was, we mentioned in the story, you know, some members of the board had expressed concerns that maybe that report that was delivered kind of missed the mark in terms of what it was designed to do.
You know, I think that there's a couple of things. I think we spent time on that whole the whole report by Vision First. You know, there was structure change to the board. There were, whether you want to call them lanes or assignments for each organization, we spent some time on that. You know, we spent some time digging through, I hate calling it internal conflict, but, you know, kind of conflict between our economic development groups in town and how do we operate seamlessly, you know, and we did spend a lot of time talking about the culture of warm handoffs. You know, one of the things that we want to avoid with economic development is if somebody calls me and says, hey, Trey, I'm thinking about opening up a bakery in downtown Emporia. I don't want to say, oh, that's not me. You need to call Casey Woods at Main Street. Even though that's the right place to call, you know, we want to create a culture where I say, oh, man, I think Casey Woods would be the person who would be able to walk you through most of those steps. Let me get Casey on the phone and let's set up a meeting with Casey. So you don't want to just kind of bounce people all over. You want to make sure it's that warm handoff and saying, hey, you need to get a hold of Casey and let me call Casey for you. Let me introduce you to Casey.
When you use the term warm handoffs, you're kind of referring to basically defining the roles, who really needs to handle what.
Who needs to handle what, and how we do those handoffs, because it can be very concerning when you say, that's not my job, that's so-and-so's job, and you just kind of close that door.
Well, and then so-and-so gets the phone call, and they go, well, that's not my job, that's so-and-so's job. So you're going through an almost eternal circle of so-and-so's.
Yes. Yeah. So you want to make sure you get them to the right person. And, you know, I want to call them, you know, I want to call Casey with them. So, you know, for some reason, Casey sees somebody else would be a better resource. Maybe it's the new SBA person at Emporia State. That's who we need to loop in. You know, that we're doing that at that point in time and we're getting the right people looped in. Or maybe it's a large industrial project that they pick up the phone. They've heard about Casey because, you know, Casey is really, really renowned throughout the nation with the work that he's done with Emporia Main Street. So maybe it's somebody who knows his name from, you know, National Main Street and that calls him about a large industrial project. And Casey, once again, does that warm handoff to the RDA director, Lyle Butler, in this case.
So I guess a big question that I have, and it seemed like during the conversations, again, I think we paid a lot of attention to the restructuring proposal that we had talked about a few times, at least our stories did. It seemed like certain members were more focused on defining the roles, kind of as you've just stated there, saying that they felt like there was really nothing done in that regard. A big question I had there, and I don't mean to like put anyone on the spot, but I am curious, is there a lot of confusion as to the roles that are assigned to each of the voting entities?
Oh, I don't think there is. And I think there's conversations that, you know, the Economic Advancement Committee was made up of 18 people. It was a big, kind of violates my role that you don't want to have meetings larger than you can feed two medium-sized pizzas with. Once you get past that, you know, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of thoughts. It's hard to make progress. And, you know, I think one of the things we walked away with is that RDA and Main Street need to make sure they have a good working agreement between them, how they handle stuff. RDA and the Chamber need to have a good working agreement between them, how they handle things. You know, even ourselves, you know, one of the big things that came out of the Vision First study was to have contracts. We have not had solid contracts, but to have contracts with each of our economic development partners, whether it's Visit, whether it's RDA, whether it's Main Street, and what are we delineating that, and what are their goals that they're trying to achieve? What are those metrics? So, you know, making sure we all have those contracts and those relationships in place. But, you know, for the 18 of us to weigh in between the Chamber and Main Street and say how that contract should, what that should look like, that's a lot of people looking at that who, you know, and 9 of them are not part of that fight. They're just in the room for that conversation. So, you know, we really said that Main Street, Chamber boards need to have that conversation. RDA board, Main Street, RDA board, Chamber, City, and each of those organizations need to have really those true conversations and make sure we're delineating everything. And then as part of our contracting procedure, we need to clearly say what we're asking of RDA, what we're asking of Main Street, and what we're asking, we don't have a contract with the Chamber, but what we're asking of Visit Emporia as part of that, so they know what those expectations are. And then, you know, we, with those contracts, we try to eliminate as much of that overlap as possible.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that also kind of stood out, you mentioned obviously the size of the Economic Advancement Committee. You know, that was something that got brought up a few times, was it was too many voices in the room. And it seemed kind of funny, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but it seemed like everybody needed to have a voice there of some kind. And sometimes when you're trying to make sure everybody has a voice, it can get a little bit out of control. And it seems as though a few people agreed that maybe that was a big problem with the report itself, was there was just so many voices in the room at one time.
Yeah. And it's all those things. How do you have the right people in the room? How do you make sure you're not excluding people? But then how do you have productive conversation at the same time? It's a challenge. I mean, I go back to this rule that I was taught, that your most productive meetings should be the size that you can feed two medium pizzas to. Yeah. You know, so 9, 10, somewhere around there.
Sure.
But, you know, I think we made a lot of progress. You know, I know there was a lot of talk about structure. I think a lot of people are concerned that the current structure is somewhat exclusionary. You know, Main Street's not a member of RDA. The presidents from the two, you know, we're blessed to have two colleges in our community, and both presidents are ex officio members. And then how, you know, and we've changed. You know, the county's very much a big player with RDA right now. So how do we make sure their staff's incorporated? How do we make sure city staffs continue to be incorporated? How do we make sure Main Street staff's incorporated? And how do we continue to have Chamber staff?
Sure.
So I think we did a really good job with that new 11-board structure, making sure everybody has a voice, continues to have a voice, and at the same time, driving it forward. You know, and one of the big things I really want to stress with this, and I don't know if I said this on Thursday or not, you know, I think it's incumbent to have the right structure in place. I think it's folks need to know who's on the board. And then I really think this is one of those things that if we deal with it right, we've kind of settled the question for a lot of years going forward to give a lot of stability. You know, because I will be honest, I don't feel really pre-COVID. There's been a whole lot of questions and different studies. And, you know, I think we've had four or five different looks at RDA, and they've all recommended some change to RDA.
Right.
So, you know, how do we have a good structure that works? How do we ensure the long-term viability of the institution? How do we have a strong structure for the new president to come in? You know, and as a professional who relocated to this community, I want to know who I'm working for. I want to know what that board's going to be like. You know, if somebody said, hey, Trey, you know, come to Emporia. We don't know whether the commission's going to have 9 members or 5 members, you know, in 2 months. That's really nebulous, and that's hard to get. Figure out what's going on.
See, and that was a big takeaway for me from your comments on Thursday was it seems as though everybody has the same end goal in getting a new president in there, because that's been a talking point for a while, and it's been on hold for a while. But it seems like the starting line is kind of where there's some, I don't want to say division, but definitely maybe some dispute. Whether it needs to start with defining the roles of the voting entities or expanding the voting entities. And clearly it seems as though you, and I don't want to speak for the other commissioners or city leadership, but it does seem as though the thought process is we need to start by having the board a little bit larger, maybe at least if we're going to make changes to the board, not wait until a new president comes in and then they're dealing with change on top of change.
And, you know, so if we look at the pieces, I don't think it's – you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that Main Street's going to be part of our economic apparatus. You know, Emporia Enterprises, I don't think they're going away anytime soon, so they should continue to be part of RDA. Chamber very much should continue to be part of RDA, and the city and the county should be part of RDA. And then the two colleges, who is going to create workforce, who's going to drive economic advancement more than the two colleges? Who else is bringing new members to our community, growing our community more than the colleges? So, you know, how do we create industries around our colleges? How do we have those pathways? So I think it all links together, and I think getting voices from, you know, those, let me, you know, 6 organizations in the room, 7 organizations in the room is so important to our community.
Basically, what they all bring to the table makes sense to the structure. Am I understanding that correctly? So I guess, Trey, the hard question I'm going to ask here is, in your opinion, you know, why do you think there was so much pushback on looking at this structure, possibly approving it? I know that there was some legal matters. You know, obviously, Jeff Williams made a great point, and that was, it's not as easy as just, hey, let's change the structure. Okay, approved. It's you do have to go through some lawyers, make sure everything checks out legally. You've got to change some bylaws and let everybody review it. You know, fair enough. But do you think that those factors were what led to kind of the pushback against the proposed structure?
You know, at the end of the day, I can't speak for those folks.
Fair enough.
You know, I'm going to have a conversation with folks this week, really try to discern, understand their point of view, and hopefully we can, you know, at the end of the day, everybody I talk to wants RDA, one, continue to do industrial development, continue to do developments that supports our colleges, continue to do development, medium, even small business. We want to make sure the whole ecosystem of business is supported in this community. We want to make sure we have the best pathways in place for Emporia to grow and expand. You know, I think we can all admit we've been reeling for the last 6 months. So how do we have the best structure? How do we get to work? And how do we grow this community?
Everybody has the same destination as to the end goal. And it seems like, from what you said there, everybody's on the same page as to what that end goal looks like. It's just right now trying to decide, do we flip the page and read it on one side or do we read it on the other side? It's just trying to find the right way to flip that page.
You know, as they always say, I'm trying to think of a I had an analogy and it slipped out of my mind, but
sorry,
you know, we know where we're going. We have the destination. I think we're just kind of looking at Google Map and it's showing us 4 different routes.
And you have the toll road, you have the non-toll road. One's faster, just one doesn't line up.
Most fuel-efficient road, and you know, as you look at those Google Maps, you have 4 different ways to get there. And you know, I think it's just some discernment and trying to come up with the path, because we all, you know, there's nobody who's saying we want to shut out businesses. We don't want to grow. Everybody's saying we want to grow. We want to encourage businesses. We want, you know, we want to have the right pieces of the puzzle in place, but it's just how we get there.
It's basically there's benefits to each pathway. It's just which one lines up with everybody, because it seems like everybody has different benefits they want out of it. So, no, that makes perfect sense. My last question before we go to our first break here on the Talk of Emporia. Jeff had mentioned the possibility of a special meeting to kind of further review this report, not just the new structure, but really the whole report. Corey Haig had asked for 30 days for all the entities to take it to their respective boards and then bring it back at the next meeting. Some people felt that might be a little too long. Has there been any discussion on whether or not we may see a special meeting before we get to the May 9th meeting?
You know, I think we're trying to have individual conversations this week to find a path forward. So obviously we're still having those meetings.
Okay. Understood. Well, we certainly hope that we can find a path that works for everybody, because, you know, this has been a big talking point for a little while. So we wish you nothing but the best going forward with that conversation, which I know has been it's been a tricky one to navigate.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to have a great new person. You know, Lyle's doing a great job right now. Jim Witt has done a great new job, has done a great job. But really, you know, I think it's important for our community to have a permanent person in place, and I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. We're going to take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia. You are listening to the monthly Q&A with Trey, taking turn joined in the KVOA studios by City Manager Trey Cocking of the City of Emporia. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Again, you're listening to the Talk of Emporia, brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
At Newman Regional Health, Dr. DeShayla Castile, Dr. Christina Faulkner, and our dedicated OBGYN team are here to support women's health in the greater Emporia community. With years of experience, they're here to support you through every stage of life, from routine checkups to family planning and beyond. Your health is our priority. Schedule your appointment today and experience compassionate, comprehensive care tailored just for you by calling 620-343-2376. Newman Regional Health, helping you achieve your healthy goals.
If you need catering for an upcoming graduation party, call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Let Bobby D's cater your graduate special event. With over 25 years of professional catering experience, they're able to handle any size event you have, from meats to sides to desserts. They make catering easy for you. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone who has the experience to make your event a success. And don't forget, they're open on Sundays. Call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue today to book your graduation party.
At Newman Regional Health, Dr. DeShayla Castile, Dr. Christina Faulkner, and our dedicated OBGYN team are here to support women's health in the greater Emporia community. With years of experience, they're here to support you through every stage of life, from routine checkups to family planning and beyond. Your health is our priority. Schedule your appointment today and experience compassionate, comprehensive care tailored just for you by calling 620-343-2376. Newman Regional Health, helping you achieve your healthy goals.
Live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. This is KVOE News Headlines.
Chuck Samples, KVOE News, local news headlines today brought to you by the City of Emporia. Stay informed and connected online through EmporiaKS.gov. Interviews today, two of them, as the Emporia Recreation Commission looks to fill its director position soon. Longtime Assistant Director for Operations Amanda Gutierrez and former Deerfield Park, Illinois Facility Program Manager John Mark Willems are the interviews today. Kansas Department of Commerce is marking National Community Development Week next week with its first statewide community impact tour. And next Friday, April 25th, Department of Commerce representatives will be at the Emporia Arts Center as part of that. And Keep It a Safe Summer is back. This is going to be Thursday at the Lyon County Fairgrounds, and KVOE's rolling radio show will be among the activities on hand. Headlines brought to you today by the City of Emporia. Stay informed and connected at EmporiaKS.gov. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
We want to recognize the best students in our area. Nominate a student from ESU or FHTC today at KVOE.com/student. It's the Student of the Month from KVOE, 96.9 FM, 1400 AM, and KVOE.com.
All right, students, eyes forward, listen up.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this excuse me, this Tuesday morning, Tegan Jeroen joined in the KVOE studios by Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking, as we are into the monthly Q&A with Trey, the third Tuesday of the month of April. I'm not doing so good with that, man.
I know. We're going to have to.
I'm struggling. I keep messing that up. But, you know, we were really getting down to some nitty-gritty topics here. Obviously, we were talking the RDN, and I think we got to a topic that I'm sure everybody would have loved to have heard off the air, and I'm sorry that I'm going to bring this up. I know it betrays our confidence, but man, you are kind of a barbecue beef snob, from what I understand. You do not like it if somebody doesn't take at least 24 hours.
I mean, I'm just saying, barbecue. If you're making barbecue beef, it's brisket or it's burn-ins. You can't just brown hamburger and put barbecue sauce in it and call it barbecue beef. That's not how that works.
Somebody's going to feel very called out here, but I don't know who it's going to be. But you might have a very interesting conversation at some point.
Maybe somebody's, oh, man, you're bagging them. It's not you. It's that other guy.
Yeah, it was the other person that brought the ground beef with barbecue sauce.
Yes.
So, hey, but at least somebody won't be accosting you about roads or something. At least this time it's about food.
Insulting their
the culinary ability, yeah. Hey, you got to take some, you know, you take some, you get some. That's
if you want to call it modified sloppy Joe, I'm fine with that. But it's not barbecue.
So it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily the preparation, it's just the naming of
it. It's the naming.
It's the name.
Yeah. You got to smoke it, you gotta love it.
Yeah,
barbecue.
As my grandfather would say, you gotta make love to it a little bit, and you gotta put a little bit of yourself in it.
You do. I mean, it needs time, it needs effort.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would love to just come out one time, you know, maybe take a day off or something, just watch you barbecue, because the way you talk about it, I feel like it's got to be a visual experience. That I mean, do you think your kids and your wife appreciate how much work you put into it?
I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, because I don't just barbecue. You know, I have both a Blackstone and a gas grill.
Ooh.
I have my pellet grill too. So,
oh wow, you're running a three grill rig.
I do run a three grill rig. So,
wow,
you know, my best products are usually multi grill experience. So,
okay, well, you know. I might have to come on out to the Cocking House for dinner sometime. Just, you know, watch you work three grills at once.
Yeah. My in-laws were here. We weren't using the smoker, but I stand to eat us. I had both the gas grill and the Blackstone going on Sunday. So,
well, I want to see this just because I feel like that's an America's Got Talent level talent right there.
I won't go that far.
That's impressive. But, well, we could talk about this all day, but unfortunately, we do need to move along here. And, you know, speaking of talking, city commissioners are going to be talking about a pretty important conversation, or pretty important topic, I should say, tomorrow during their regular meeting. And that is some discussions on, you know, things related to tourism and things like that. Not having been around for the conversation when it first started, I'm going to let you go ahead and kind of explain exactly what this topic is and kind of where we're at in this process.
So, you know, we kind of had a conversation come full circle. You know, Leland Danes did a great job with Visit Emporia. He stepped aside, you know, late last year, kind of wrapped it up in January as the Visit Emporia director, doing amazing things with Emporia Spanish speakers. I really commend him for what he's done for the community. But with that opening, had a little bit of talk on, you know, is the Visit Emporia contract with the Chamber, is that just a perpetual contract? Do we have everything in place for it? What should be the, you know, this goes back to that vision first. You know, what should be involved in those contracts? What does that look like? What's an appropriate contract term? You know, is a perpetual contract the way to do it, or is it, you know, some sort of term contract? So that came up at the first meeting in February. At that point, commission directed staff to issue RFPs for visit services. So we issued those RFPs. We had three responders, and kind of the way the chamber submitted a RFP, visit our Main Street submitted a RFP, and then Mark Detter put one internal one for the city that really changed how we would do things. You know, it instead of really, he would contract with the chamber and Main Street with smaller contracts, more for, you know, visitors information center, and then really work with for-profit businesses and not-for-profit businesses to really create momentum around events. I will say that his proposal was really turned the thinking that the Emporia way in a different way. Now, when TGT looked at those proposals, they chose not to score that one because it was so outside the box. So, you know, that's fair. It was a different proposal. But it's kind of how Mark had seen it in Valdez and Andover. And he also wanted to work with a large marketing firm to, you know, find ways to market the community.
So essentially, from what I'm gathering, and correct me if I'm misunderstanding, basically instead of doing it through one specific organization, the city would use multiple different entities,
yes,
and businesses to promote for different things?
Correct. So, okay. You know, and it's one of
the... yeah, that is a little outside the box.
Yeah, you know, you might have a bar, a restaurant, and, you know, a disc golf company get together to create an event and put a proposal together to support that event. So instead of just, you know, wiring it to one organization, you know, and the other thing that we have done is the way we've allocated those funds, they've really just been for not-for-profits.
Sure.
You know, we've not allocated TGT funds to for-profit entities. So, you know, where other communities will allow marketing and other things for those for-profit companies. So it was kind of, you know, it was a different way. Mark's seen it, not how I'm accustomed to do it. So we kind of put up the Chinese firewall and let Mark, I don't know if that's even a, you know, we put up a firewall, let Mark submit that proposal under Emporia name, and Taylor and I. We had worked on the RFP, so we kind of were out of that as far
sure.
as making that proposal.
So I guess the question is, for those who aren't aware, when it comes to what Visit Emporia did, which I don't know how you can't know what Visit Emporia did, but if you don't, you know, essentially it's not putting the events together and running the events and things like that necessarily for all of them. It's really just handling the marketing and getting it out there and letting people know, like the community calendar and things like that, correct?
Correct. It's really the promotion. You know, they're not running gravel races. You know, that's Unbound. They're not doing disc tournaments that, you know, that's Dynamic Disc. They're not doing a lot of those events, but it's really how do we promote it? How do we work together to achieve these events?
They're the ones bringing the people in just through the marketing and the promotion and things like that. So just clarifying.
Yeah.
It's not as though, you know, Main Street would no longer host the downtown block party
no.
if they didn't get this contract. They'd still host those events.
Yes.
They just wouldn't be in charge of the marketing.
Correct.
Yeah.
If the chamber got the contract.
Yeah. Yeah. Understood. So you mentioned the three entities. So based off of based off of kind of what you said there with the city's RFP, does it sound like the city is really being a contender in there? Or?
You know, what I can tell you is what's happened so far. So the Transient Guest Tax Committee met last week. They scored the proposals. Main Street got maybe a fraction of a point more than the chamber, but then they went ahead and recommended the chamber be the contractor based on their prior history.
So basically, just if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That was the TGT recommendation.
And I want to be clear. I mean, it sounds like the conversations that came from you all was really just an exploratory one. It wasn't that something was broken. It was just, hey, this is an opportunity to look at something new. Am I understanding that
correct.
Correctly?
And then, you know, really, in my mind, it's what are those terms going forward? You know, so what the RFP says is now that we will do a 3-year contract with an option to renew for an additional 3 years. So really, if you're performing well, it's going to be a 6-year contract. And then at the end of 6 years, we'll bid it out again.
Okay.
Just so we kind of create, you know, what are the expectations? How long is this going to be in place? And, you know, instead of, well, willy-nilly going, oh, should we bid out that contract? What should we do with it? Should we extend it 19 times? And then on the 20th time, we don't extend it.
Right.
So we just wanted to find what those best practices are for those contracts and at least move that forward so people have some certainty on how those contracts are going to be awarded.
I love the fact that nobody could see you do it, but you're kind of using the analogy of, you know, just letting the wind blow where it is. He actually did the whole lick his finger and check to see where the wind's blowing from, and I'm like, you know, nobody can see you.
I know. You
that
know,
was just great.
I have a face for radio and a voice for newspapers, so, you know, sometimes I just...
You know, my mom always said that to me when I got this job. She goes, that's great. You have a face for radio, and I'm ashamed at how long it took me to come up with the perfect comeback, and that is... Yeah, but everybody says I look like you. So
oh, man.
Boom. Yeah, I didn't get any presents that Christmas, but...
I know.
Yeah, it is what it is. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to fire back. You
do.
But back to the original point. So kind of a controversial question, but I'm going to ask it.
Yeah.
Because you know me. I'm never afraid to. If the city is submitting an RFP And the city commission is reviewing these. Does the city commission have the final say on who it goes to?
Yes.
Is that not a bit of a conflict of interest?
You know, I don't know how else you do it. I mean, you know, obviously sure. You use TGT to review these, and they made a recommendation. I would be, you know, I've been surprised before, but I would be shocked tomorrow if that proposal is what emerged out of the conversation. You know, I could see that they, you know, I could see that they select one of them. I could say, hey, can you guys have a conversation about being more collaborative between the three organizations?
Sure.
Moving forward and, you know, maybe come up with some sort of joint proposal. I could see that happening. But right now, you know, sticking my finger up in the wind again.
He literally did.
I know. I just can't see.
Sure.
I can't see going in that direction right now. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, anytime the city does something, you know, but they're, you know, the city commission is the ones that have been duly elected right. and empowered with those decisions.
I understand that. And I get where you're coming from. It just from the outside looking in, you know, that could seem,
you know,
you're kind of letting the people who you answer to basically take that. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's how it is. I'm just saying I can understand how somebody might look at that and go, you know, I mean, was that a concern at all, like, when you guys kind of started developing this?
That's why we kind of put the firewall in place.
Sure,
that
sure.
Taylor nor I worked on Mark's proposal. Mark didn't work on the RFP, so we had that separation as far as that. No commissioners were involved working with Mark on his RFP.
Fair enough.
So, you know, tried to have separation. Not going to have perfect separation ever. But, you know, I will tell you that there are cities, large cities in Kansas that have ran visitors bureaus before.
Sure.
Mark wanted to go in a little bit different direction than, you know, a city ran visitors bureau. But, you know, that's kind of how we did it, was we let Mark run with it. And he's really the one that had that outside experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my longest city manager experience came in Atchison, and we ran it through a contract with the chamber, very similar to what we do here. Now, they did a lot of ghost hunting because Atchison is haunted. But, you know, we don't do ghost hunting here. So,
Yeah, not as big as that, but yeah.
Not as big as that.
I appreciate what you're saying there, though. And, you know, again, kind of a controversial question, but I think it's probably one that would be asked anyway. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, no matter how much separation you did, you know, somebody's always going to sit there and point and just go, well, you know. But I appreciate you being open about that. And I think my last question on this is, are we expecting a decision tomorrow? Or kind of going back to the RDA discussion, I think we were kind of expecting maybe something to happen there on Thursday, and nothing really did. Is this maybe going to be just a conversation and then action at a later time? What's the feel?
You know, I think it's going to be a conversation. We don't have contract documents, so that's going to be the big thing to move forward is whoever, you know, if they're leaning one way, then we need to sit down and negotiate a contract with that provider.
Sure.
So, you know, and I've been around this a lot. Even if you decide, hey, we're going to go with X or Y, well, that contract negotiation, sometimes the deal falls apart on those contract negotiations. So I'm not expecting a resolution tomorrow. I'm expecting, you know, maybe some direction tomorrow, but I don't believe we'll have it resolved.
Well, I'd mentioned that's going to be my last question. I actually have one final question, and that is, you mentioned you only had three responses, and I know that's something that's been talked about before. Commissioner Brinkman has actually brought that up a few times, that sometimes when you put stuff out there, you don't get as many responses as you were probably anticipating. Were you disappointed that those were the only responses?
Yeah, I honestly thought we might get maybe a marketing company responding directly. I didn't know if one of the two colleges might respond, something kind of out of the box. Really didn't see that, but you never know when you do those.
And the only reason I ask that question is, you know, if a contract were to fall through, which, granted, you know, the Visit Emporia's long history, I mean, they have that. Of course, Main Street's not going to go anywhere. I mean, even if you went with the city one, I mean, that's internal. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But if something were to fall through and you don't have a wide selection of ulterior options, I mean, is that concerning?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that for some reason we couldn't get a deal done. We can all, you know, it's just like hiring somebody. You know, you hope to hire from your pool of applicants that you have.
Sure.
Sometimes you can't get something done, so you re-advertise. I don't foresee that happening, but, you know, I could. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a fortune teller.
No, you just read the wind with your finger.
I just read the wind with my finger.
Inside of
a building. And there's no wind in here. There's not even any air blowing, so I'm not hot,
kind of. That's kind of the reason I brought that up. But anyway, we're going to go to our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we're going to get an update on the work on the city's fire department, new headquarters, which, man, has been moving quick. We'll let Trey kind of give us a full in-depth update on that right after this timeout, again being brought to you in part by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
At Central Care Cancer Center, they provide you with complete cancer care, such as chemotherapy and radiation therapy, all under one roof. Emporia is their home, too. That's why they're dedicated to bringing expert care to you, so you don't have to travel far. They're located right next to Newman Regional. Dr. Perez Tamayo, Dr. Ali Wazir, and their amazing staff are all ready to assist you. Call today for an appointment, 342-1117, or online at cccancer.com. Telehealth and second opinions are available.
If you need catering for an upcoming graduation party, call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Let Bobby D's cater your graduate special event. With over 25 years of professional catering experience, they're able to handle any size event you have, from meats to sides to desserts. They make catering easy for you. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone who has the experience to make your event a success. And don't forget, they're open on Sundays. Call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue today to book your graduation party.
At Central Care Cancer Center, they provide you with complete cancer care, such as chemotherapy and radiation therapy, all under one roof. Emporia is their home, too. That's why they're dedicated to bringing expert care to you, so you don't have to travel far. They're located right next to Newman Regional. Dr. Perez Tamayo, Dr. Ali Wazir, and their amazing staff are all ready to assist you. Call today for an appointment, 342-1117, or online at cccancer.com. Telehealth and second opinions are available.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the deportations case of a Maryland man mistakenly deported to a prison in El Salvador heads back to the lower court judge who ordered Kilmar Abrego Garcia to be returned to the U.S. The Supreme Court upheld the order and for the Trump administration to facilitate his return, but El Salvador's president has since says he has no plans to release him. ABC's Terry Moran on what the courts can do.
She can hold the individual lawyers from the Department of Justice in contempt of court. Courts do have contempt powers. She could fine them. Day by day, she could put them in jail if they continue not to obey the order as she sees it. That would appeal and get to the Supreme Court again.
Indiana's governor announcing today he's issued 9 executive orders, including banning soft drinks and candy from food stamp programs known as SNAP. Other states, including Idaho, also joining the Make America Healthy Again initiative outlined by RFK Jr. for Health and Human Services. This is ABC News.
Win 3 large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at kvoe.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live, win free pizza and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Now into the final segment of our monthly Q&A with Trey, as Tegan Trahoon joined in the KVOE studios here on the third Tuesday of the month of April. Nailed it. Yeah, it only took me 3 tries. With City Manager Trey Cocking for the City of Emporia, we've covered quite a lot of ground. But speaking of ground, a lot of ground being covered on some significant projects here in the Emporia area. And I want to start off, Trey, with the new fire department headquarters. Man, walls are going up. It looks like they are just kind of speeding through that process.
I mean, I feel like it's Legos or erector set or something going on because it's moving quickly. And it really starting to take shape. Tell folks to drive down Market, take a look at that, and they're making good progress. I'm excited to see what it looks like. They told us that we should top out the building mid-month next month.
So put the roof on it?
Well, put the steel beam, last steel beam.
Gotcha. Up.
So usually you have a topping out ceremony when you get that last beam in place, and then you start building the envelope around the building once you have kind of the skeleton of the building done. So, but making really good progress, and you know, this project is so critical for the health and safety of our firefighters. You know, every time I go through the existing Station 1, it's just not built how you would come anywhere close to building a fire station today. You know, the biggest thing is we want guys showering before they go in the house to get those chemicals and toxins off of them. And right now, to shower, they have to go almost all the way through the house, dragging all their stuff through. And this is going to be great for them at the end of the day to have that, to have a place that their equipment fits. You know, if they need to work on their equipment, they can work on their equipment indoors, because right now you can't work on anything inside it. There's just no way to do that. You have to pull an engine outside because just such tight quarters in the existing space.
What is the projected end date again for this?
January of 26. So we are so far cruising along, hitting every milestone, but still have quite a bit of time left.
The way that things are looking, do you think that you could be done beforehand?
You know, it really depends. You know, part of it is just scheduling of trades and, you know, make sure that you have the electrician in and the plumber in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you can be waiting for them. Because, you know, everybody's moving from one project to another project. Most of the time, contractors aren't sitting around going, I wish they'd call us. You know, they have their work scheduled way ahead. But right now, everything's holding to schedule. You know, pretty much get it topped out, and then once the building's weatherized, when you have the envelope in place, then you can really start to figure out what that opening day is going to be, because then weather is no longer a factor in the project.
I love that you use the term opening day. It's like, could we get Chief Beck to just hit a home run, like right out there? Or?
Yeah, you know, break one of our new windows. That would be
awesome.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. I mean, what's a window? You know, it's all good. No, but. I think it's just been very impressive to see how quickly this has really come about. And you obviously mentioned January of next year, kind of the end dates. And, of course, there's still a lot of uncertainty. You know, costs aren't going down. Of course, we have the new tariffs coming in. So, I mean, there's a lot that could set it back. But right now, it just seems like everything is on a really good pace.
No, it is. And the one thing about this project is the cost is fixed at this point. We have a guaranteed maximum price in place on this project. You know, everything has been ordered at this point, so I'm really hopeful we don't get complications with tariffs on this project.
So there could be complications, but it's not going to be a price-related complication.
That's what we've been told. So, you know, so far, as long as, you know, for some reason a supplier misses an order or something would be our big thing. But that's really on the supplier at this point if the costs increase.
Fair enough. Well, we can't wait to see everything continue to speed towards the finish line here with the new fire department headquarters. Again, if you haven't had a chance, it's right over there on the east side of White Auditorium. Just go right on down there. Check it out. I mean, really, we've been getting photos here at the station nonstop, and we drive past it almost daily. Yeah. So it's been cool to see. So we can't wait to see how that all wraps up. Running a little short on time, but I wanted to try and get an update here on some road projects. As I'm sure you've probably heard and a lot of people know, there's been some more adjustments to traffic just because of the work that's going on with the Prairie Line, the Prairie Street Line, of course, the Southeast Transmission Line. How are those projects looking, kind of starting with Prairie?
Yeah, Prairie's making progress. Hopefully in the next kind of week and a half, 2 weeks, we will be through the 15th Street intersection. So that's the good news. The bad news is we'll have to shut down the 12th Street intersection at 12th and Prairie. So get one open, close the other one down.
Give and take.
You know, probably once we get 15th open, we may have to drop 24th to one lane as well as they do the sidewalk project. So, you know, there's going to be inconveniences as we move through this project. I'm really hopeful that we're down to about the last 2 months of the Prairie Street project. Then we'll get Prairie Street open. Then later this year, we're going to do a contract to repave Prairie to have all nice pavement going forward there. We're also going to do the same with 12th Avenue. We tore that all up, I believe, 3 summers ago to do that waterline project, so we're going to repave that as well. Then we have our normal street maintenance projects that will be approved next week. And then we're also working on a concrete project that's out to bid right now to improve sections of concrete throughout the community. And one of the most notable projects, if anybody drives down Weaver, going to Industrial Park 3, that's horribly chewed up right now. Just those panels have dropped, but that is out to bid to correct that.
Good.
And then looking at resurfacing that moving forward. So we're going to have to spend a little bit of money that I don't necessarily want to spend there. But then again, that really needs to be done. And trucks have just been so hard on that. You know, one of the, we are so blessed in this community to have Industrial Park 3. That being said, you know, the water feeding it, you know, we're having to upgrade that. And then the street was more of a residential street right. going into the plant. So we're upgrading everything, you know, and then the other big thing we're looking at is how do we deal with that rail crossing there, setting that more than likely, you know, probably 5 to 7 years away. We'll look at taking that rail crossing to an overpass there. So trucks won't have to stop in sure. and out. So, but that's all. It's all going to take some time, coordination with the federal government, with the railroad to move those projects forward. But we're trying to make improvements as fast as we can. Unfortunately, they just don't move as fast as yeah. I want them to move.
You can want them to go as fast as you possibly can, but you know, Mother Nature plays a role. Infrastructure plays a role. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it aside from putting a new pipe in there. You know, it's not as easy as just opening the street and dropping it in.
No, and, you know, especially like this Prairie Street project, it's a very congested area. There's natural gas pipes, there's water pipes, there's sewer pipes, there's everything moving through that. So you really have to work, and sometimes we find stuff that's not on maps.
Sure.
So, you know, it complicates that, and then when you find a pipe that's not on a map, you have to sit there and say, how do we... Do we go under? Do we go over? Do we move the other pipe? What do we do to get through this?
You know, I know you hear this a lot, but I've heard this a lot in the last few weeks, and that is a lot of people coming up to me going like, you know, they're just tearing up the streets and this, that, it's so inconvenient, this. And then I had to kind of at one point sit there and go, listen, I'm a neutral party in this, but I got to say, do you want a little inconvenience followed by great results and you're not having your street shut down every single day for a water main break? Or do you want to have the roads open, but they're going to be closed anyway because a pipe burst and now you can't get through there and there's water everywhere?
You know, I often feel like, you know, what do we want? Everything fixed now.
Yeah.
What do we want it now? Do we want to be inconvenienced? No.
No.
Do we want to pay for it?
No. No.
But what do we, can't you find other people to, and can't you do, you know, can you guys just work on it overnight? We get asked that questions, you know, because you'll see that like on 435 where you have 75,000 vehicles a day. On yeah. 435 in Kansas City.
Yep.
That's a little bit different, and the cost is hugely, exponentially more expensive to do something oh, yeah. like that. So,
well, even if you did it overnight, I mean...
You're still going to have the streets torn up.
Yeah, the street's still going to be torn up. You're not going to be able to go through it. I mean, yeah. I understand people have...
And then you'll have the noise.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm guilty of it at times. You know, we all have a desire for instant gratification, I think. It's just get it done. Why is this taking so long? And sometimes we're kind of speaking from a standpoint of, well, I think I understand how complicated this is, but I don't even have the first clue how complicated this is.
Oh, I will tell you, firsthand experience. I'm in the middle of the project when the 15th Street or 15th Avenue intersection got closed. I missed it, and I was running late picking one kid up to picking another kid up.
Yeah,
and I had to, you know, circle back, and I was like, "How did I miss this?" You
yeah.
know, just throwing my hands up, knowing that it was coming. So. I get it. It's frustrating. You know, we all want to go the quickest and fastest way. And unfortunately, as we work through all these projects for the, you know, rest of the summer, whether it's street paving projects or
sure.
the rest of this project or Southeast Transmission, you know, we're going to ask folks to maybe take 2 or 3 minutes out of their normal way, delay their travel a little bit. But at the end of it, we're going to have a better system, more reliable system, better infrastructure.
Sure. Well, Trey, as always, we appreciate you coming in here, kind of giving us an update on how things are going at the city level. And I guess I'll just talk to you tomorrow, of course, at the city commission meeting. I certainly hope that is a smooth process for everybody, but a lot to go on there. So we'll let you get back to it. But again, as always, we appreciate you coming in and giving us a little bit of your time each month.
Happy to be here. 11 a.m. tomorrow, city commission meeting. So, and I've seen stuff online. We have nothing concerning Stormont Vale on the agenda tomorrow. So there was a letter asking about that in the paper today. So
yeah, there's yeah
nothing on Stormont Vale tomorrow.
Just in case anybody's wondering, there's still stuff that needs to go through the Planning Commission.
Correct.
And it has not gone through there yet.
Correct. And my understanding was that will not be until the May Planning and Zoning yes. Commission meeting.
There was something that happened. They're not having a meeting this month, I believe.
They're not having an April meeting, so that would be in May when they consider the final plat.
Yes.
And then we – so if that's in May, then the earliest it would be at the commission level would be that second meeting in June.
Okay. So make sure you mark your calendars for the month of June. That's when you can expect to see it. So anyway, Trey, again, thank you very much. And thank you to your staff who do such great work. We appreciate all of you. And we'll talk to you again. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow, but we'll talk to you again here on the airwaves in May.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. That's going to wrap up the Talk of Emporia. Again, the monthly Q&A with Trey, City Manager Trey Cocking, joining us here in the KVOA studios. We appreciate you tuning in to the Talk of Emporia. Make sure you stay tuned as we have our 12 o'clock block of news and information coming up here on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local.